You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on episode 22 of the RedCafe.net podcast, we're trying to work out exactly what went wrong against Leeds in the FA Cup. We'll be discussing the rumours surrounding the Manu Village, and a Birmingham fan will be joining us at the end of the show to preview this weekend's encounter at St Andrews.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Thanks for joining us on the 22nd episode of the RedCafe.net podcast. Dan Dove, how are you doing this week?
I'm good, thanks, mate. I've been working from my mate's kitchen today, so I've not been able to get into work, so that's been quite fun. Obviously, you work from home, Steve, so you've not got a problem there.
I have managed to get into work every day. It's been quite annoying. I want to have a proper snow day. I want the snow to be so deep I can't actually get out my front door. That's what it's going to take for me to not get to work.
I'm really annoyed. Like, so many people on Facebook have been saying, "Oh, I've got a snow day and all this," and I'm just like, "Well, I've still got to work," and it's really getting to me now.
That would annoy me as well. Somebody said, "Yeah, you can go home, but you're going to have to work."
Yeah, well, yeah, it was a bit frustrating, but we all had to do it, so can't complain, I suppose. Still get paid.
Yeah, and then you could have your mum bringing you bacon sandwiches whenever you want as well, and cups of tea.
I could do, yes, but no, I'm more professional than that, you see.
I would expect nothing less from you, Dan, nothing less.
How about you, Steve? Have you been up to?
Yeah, not too much, to be honest. As you say, I can't get away with the excuse of not being able to get into work because of working from home. But yeah, all good. Managed to get out in the snow and have a few snowball fights. So yeah, it's been all good.
What M United superstar did you make a snowman of this week? Or did you...
I want to see a full team, full 11. That's what I want. Well,
I'll prepare a Gabriel Obertan one for you tomorrow, and I'll put that on Facebook and see how that gets on. Right, guys, well, to kick off the show, it's a bit unfortunate, really, because I was hoping we'd be able to discuss a victory over Man City in the League Cup semi-final first leg, but that was, of course, called off due to the snow. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to start by looking at the FA Cup third-round defeat to Leeds. Well, Dan, where'd you start with it? I mean, Mike Phelan, he came out and said that it was unacceptable, and he's not really too far wrong with that assessment, is he? Because, well, in a way, it was embarrassing, wasn't it?
Well, I'm glad Fergie came out and said it was shocking as well, because it was absolutely, it was horrible. Not to mention the freezing cold. The Leeds fans were pretty good all the way through, I thought. And they obviously went mental when they scored, which was a bit upsetting. But I mean, from that 20-minute point, you could never guess that United weren't going to at least trouble the keeper. You know what I mean? He only had about three or four shots to save, didn't he? Which was, you know, massively disappointing. The players didn't seem up for it. Leeds were obviously, you know, mentally up for the game going into tackles. It was only really Wes Brown, I think, who was making some proper hard tackles, but his performance wasn't anywhere near as what you'd expect. So it was a whole disappointment, really. It's hard to say where we went wrong. Possibly team selection.
Yeah, well, talking about team selection, I mean, Dov, Gabriel Obertan and Danny Welbeck on the two wings, I mean, was that sort of where the problem stemmed from? Both relatively inexperienced at the top level, and just weren't really up for the battle, were they? They didn't seem to want to get stuck in, and the touch wasn't really there. Welbeck just had a bit of a nightmare, didn't he?
It was horrendous. He's not a winger. I think that's quite apparent. And I don't know why Sir Alex keeps playing him on the wing. But for me, the worst players of the day were Neville and Brown. I thought the two of them, especially Neville. Neville was horrendous. You can tell, one, he's not fit, and two, he's past his best. He's way past his best. The amount of times he lost, just misplaced passes, couldn't get across in the box. And then even when he tried to get back, he couldn't get back. Again, Brown, you could tell he's a bit rusty as well. And it was a horrible performance. When the midfield there got announced, I wasn't really too worried about it, to be honest, because I thought Gibson and Anderson are two sort of, they'll put themselves about, especially Anderson, who I thought was one of our, like, probably our best player on the day, other than Valencia, who came on as a substitute. But I thought Anderson was really, really good. And Gibson, obviously, we know what he's like, and he's on top form at the minute as well. And Obertan, again, he's been producing great performances of late as well. Other than Welbeck, you think, well, it surely can do a job against a League One side. Apparently not. But yeah, it's just the defence really, like, flummoxed me completely. I just couldn't believe how terrible they were and how completely... They were kind of scared of Beckford for one point, because every time they ran at them, they just looked, they looked dead for pace, every single one of them.
Well, I mean, in terms of Wes Brown, is Jermaine Beckford really that good? Or was Wes Brown just really on an awful day and Beckford capitalised on that?
I think you're right. Beckford just had a really... He had a great day. I don't think he's a Premiership striker at all, and I just think Wes Brown is still coming back from injury, and looked a bit like lost at parts as well. And then started making like rash tackle after rash tackle as well, which I thought it might have been running the risk of getting sent off for. So,
in terms of the goal, would you blame it on Wes Brown, or was it more Kuchak? He was a bit hesitant, wasn't he, coming off his line? He wasn't sure whether he should come straight away, stay on his line, and in the end he sort of got caught in two minds, and it allowed the gap to open up for Beckford.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. He should have really, like, whenever he's seen that Beckford had played the ball too far in front of him, he should have been out, he should have been on that ball. And I think, like, again, Wes Brown and Gary Neville as well. Where was Gary Neville? Like, Gary Neville was nowhere to be seen, so I just think it was a whole, like, lots of defensive errors, but I think Kuchak could have done better. But it grew sort of better as the game went on, but I mean, that wasn't a good performance from him either, to be honest. There weren't many good performances. You're really struggling to take any positives out of that at all, to be honest.
Well, guys, before we move on to the email section of the show, let's talk about a few bits of news that have come out of Old Trafford recently. A lot of rumour surrounding Nemanja Vidic, isn't there? Withdrew from the Leeds game, he was due to start, wasn't he, and then pulled out, apparently, because of a calf injury. Now, when Ferguson was asked about that, he said, I couldn't tell you at all. But, well, since then, Vidic has played down the reports, hasn't he, that there's nothing wrong with him and Ferguson, and that he wants to stay at Old Trafford. But, obviously, there'll be a queue of big European clubs that would take him off our hands if he did come out and say he wanted to leave. Dov, do you think he is going to leave? And, I mean, how would you replace him?
I've just got a funny feeling there's something not right there, and I think he'll leave in the summer. We're going to Real Madrid. I think that's pretty much where he'll go. I think it was his wife that's not really settled very much, and he's quoted as saying he doesn't really like the weather in Manchester. But yeah, when you just get a feeling about a player who doesn't really want to be there. He's been there, I think, 5 years now as well, so... I'm sure he's always said he wanted to go to warmer climes. I think I said this last week as well. So I would expect him to go. Bringing somebody in, I would vote for Palermo's Simon Kjær, the Danish centre-back. He's only 20 years old. Cost, I don't know, between like 12 to 15 million. And I think he looks like a great prospect. Probably one of the best defenders in Serie A at the minute. Great for Denmark as well, so we've seen him in the World Cup. And it looks like, for a 20-year-old, he's got a great experience, reads the game well, and he's reasonably fast, obviously. He's pacey for a defender, if you know what I mean. I would say a bit faster than Vidic as well, so I think he would be one to bring in to sit alongside Rio Ferdinand, who could maybe coach him a little bit. And obviously with John Evans sort of being young as well, then you've got sort of a centre-back partnership that theoretically could stay there for a good 10 years.
And Dan, what's your view on Vidic? I mean, Dov seems pretty convinced that Kjær could come in and do a job. I'm not completely sure. I mean, I haven't really seen too much of him. Hopefully in the World Cup, Denmark will have a few challenges and we'll be able to see just how good he really is. But, I mean, obviously you wouldn't be happy to see Vidic go, but if he was to go, would you be confident that we could cope without him?
No, I think we could cope without Vidic, but obviously players' transfer fees go through the roof, don't they, after the World Cup, so we need to get somebody signed before then, I think. But I think Vidic, he's come out about three or four times now saying that he's happy, he doesn't want to move, so I think you just got to take his word for it for the time being. If Ferguson wants to get rid of him, he will do, but it'll only be for the right price, won't it? I've not seen many stars out there that we could bring in, though, really.
But remember when one Ronaldo's like, oh yeah, my future is at Manchester, yada yada yada. I want to stay here forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, but he always used to say, oh, in the future, no one knows. But Vidic hasn't said that, I don't think. He's just, I don't know. Even his agents come out and said there's no truth in it, so.
But what, like, looking at somebody else, and like, what about, I would be like, with Gary Cahill at Bolton? Would you have him?
No.
No, like that, no.
No. No, he's a decent enough, like, defender, but I don't think he's got the quality to be at United. Sorry.
And Dov, just moving on, Mike Phelan, he's been linked with Burnley now that Owen Coyle looks pretty certain to take the Bolton job now. They look like they want him to take over as manager, possibly. How do you think that would affect the team, losing the assistant manager? I mean, we saw something similar, didn't we, with Carlos Queiroz when he headed off to Real Madrid. Do you think that would cause problems within the squad, or...?
We seem to have a bit of a history of losing our assistants. People always come and steal them. I'm not really a big fan of Phelan as an assistant. I think he's a good coach, and I think he's been loyal to the club, and etc. etc. So I'd honestly rather he stayed on the coaching staff, and we brought in, I would say maybe even bringing Queiroz back, because he's going to get sacked after the World Cup regardless. So you may be fine. Here's one for you. I'll put this out. If Phelan does go, I think Fergie might stay without an assistant to the end of the season, and then when Queiroz gets sacked, Queiroz might realise that he's not a manager and he really should just be an assistant. Then it could be a third return for him at United. How about that?
I think if Phelan goes, which I think I don't particularly like him either. To be honest, I don't know why. I just don't. I know he used to play for us and everything, but I don't. He doesn't come across right on the touchline for some reason. But anyway, if he did leave, I reckon Solskjaer was at number two there. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't see why not. He's doing all right for the reserves, though. So would he not want to sort of continue that project at least till the end of the season? I don't know.
Well, yeah, he could do. He could do a little bit of both, though, couldn't he? I suppose. But I'd love to see him as number two. It'd be great.
Well, here's another one. Right, I read this an article today on the BBC website. It was about the finances. Right, I've never been really worried about the finances, because I've always been of the opinion that, well, the Glazers are they're businessmen, so they're not going to invest in something that they can't sort of pay off and pay back, etc., etc. But sort of reading it, it was going on the fact that we need matches to fulfil interest payments, obviously, because we get around about £3 million per match, and obviously the going out in the third round, have lost us quite a bit of revenue. The article goes on to talk about bonds and the payment in kinds, that where the interest rate's like 14.25%, and that would be the overall, the interest bill is £70 million per year, and how we're possibly going to issue a bond to replace these payment in kinds as roughly £200 million, which is lower interest payments and things like that. But reading it, it paints a really, really bleak picture. Basically saying that when everything's all right and we're winning, then we'll be fine. But if we start having little slumps, a la FA Cup, getting knocked out of that, then we're not in a financial position to cope. And if that happens like one or two seasons, then could end up going the way of Leeds. What are your guys' views on the finances?
I'm quite worried, to be honest with you, Dov. I mean, it looks like we're not the most stable club. And like I say, if performances go down on the pitch, we're not going to get the revenue we need to keep reservicing the debt, so it is a big worry. I don't think anyone can come in and buy us either, really, because they'd need a hell of a lot of money.
Rich Arabs.
Yeah, but they'd have to be very, very rich, because how much is our debts now? I read a story saying we've got like, well, is it 600 million debt?
600 million. Yeah, 600 million.
I mean, who's got that sort of wealth?
I don't like the idea of foreign ownership, full stop, to be honest. Just knowing that we're owned by someone who potentially doesn't really have an interest in football and is only there for commercial gain, it just doesn't sit right. And I'd just rather we were owned by someone who loved football, had a passion for it, loved Manchester United, and could take us forward in that sense. And the big worry is, like you say, if we were to go downhill, the sort of figures would really jump out at you, wouldn't they? At the moment, it's sort of shrouded a bit, because we are a successful football club. We've achieved so much. But like you say, when Sir Alex Ferguson leaves, there's nothing to suggest that we might go through a bit of a bad patch and sort of drop down the league a bit for a few years and have to consolidate that. And it's worrying to think that we could potentially go down the pan if results don't sort of continue to to stay as good as they have. So yeah, that's it is really worrying.
So it's been quite a bleak week, to be honest.
Yes, yeah. But we'll try and pick it up a little bit with the emails now. But again, they're alluding to the Leeds defeat as well. So still praying, staying pretty low key. But we'll start with an email from Nathan Hornsby. He's gone back to the Wigan victory, so a good thing to start there. 5-0 victory. He's talking why was Evra captain for the day? When you look at the team sheet, I mean, Evra doesn't really jump out as a player that's going to sort of G people up and have a go at someone when they need a telling off. Dan, is there a reason behind that, do you think? Is it just because of his experience and sort of the fact that he's been around the club now for a good few years?
Yeah, there'll be that. And the fact that he's probably been our best player this season. He's been the most consistent one, the one to look up to. Rooney shouts at people anyway, so he doesn't need the armband to do that. So I think it's just to repay, you know, his faith in the club and things like that. And Ferguson likes to do that sometimes, doesn't he? Just like offering the armband. Maybe he's mooted for a move abroad in the summer, who knows? And he's just said, go on, have the captaincy for a few games. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he did that. But no, I love Everamy. I think he's brilliant.
Aaron Holtzclaw emailed in and mentioned about that he thought we should buy a centre-back in January. Dov's already sort of alluded to the fact that he'd like to see Simon Kier come in, so don't really need to discuss that in too much detail. Sean Fields, he's saying that after the Leeds defeat, he thinks it really is apparent that we're missing Cristiano Ronaldo, which is quite obvious, and James McAllister sort of echoes those sentiments. And as well as missing Ronaldo, he thinks that arguably we might be missing Tevez too. Now, guys, you probably saw it. Roberto Mancini came out and said that he thinks we're missing both Ronaldo and Tevez. Bound to say that about Tevez now because obviously he's a City player. But would you go along with that? I think Ronaldo's, it's glaringly obvious, isn't it, that you're going to miss someone like that. But in terms of Tevez, we brought in Michael Owen, didn't we, to sort of try and do that job, impact substitute, but other than City and obviously the Wolfsburg hat-trick, it's not really come off for him, has it, so far? So, guys, Carlos Tevez, would you take him back tomorrow, given if you could ignore some of the stuff that's happened with City?
In a word, yes, I would have him back.
No way.
I'd have him back. I think to perform exactly the same role as he did before, he's better than Michael Owen. Come on.
Yeah, he's better than Michael Owen, of course he is, but I mean, the fact that it's like, you know, he wasn't especially brilliant for us. It's, like you say, his industry and did what he did last time would be fine, but you need a little bit more than that. And how much would he cost to get him back? And I won't want him back anyway now he's gone to City, to be honest with you.
Well, Steve said discounting that, so I'm discounting that.
You can't discard that. It's like, you know. But in terms of Ronaldo, I mean, you know, would Ronaldo have played on Sunday against Leeds United? I doubt it. So it wouldn't have made any difference to that game.
But I think you would have had Ronaldo.
We're still only a few points off the top of the league. We're going into Christmas. You know, just let's stop jumping the gun with the Ronaldo thing. We'll see at the end of the season when we miss him, when, you know, in the big games. Like against AC Milan, that's when we'll miss someone like Ronaldo.
See, I don't think it's like missing Ronaldo as in one player. I think it's more we lack a cutting edge, and like Ronaldo's provided that for us. But I just think we, as a unit going forward, we look impotent. We look like we can't create chances like we did. We only create one or two against Leeds, who are in League One. I mean, that's the thing that worries me. Leeds are a League One team, and we can't fashion a plethora of the chances. I think we managed maybe two or three like good chances throughout the game, and that's not good enough.
To be on the side of the players, though, in the Leeds game, I know we criticised them before, but I mean, if that was any other League Two side, League One side, I think we'd have been. We'd have had no problems, but because it was Leeds, they were up for it. They've not played us for a few years. They've been down in the dumps, haven't they, for like, well, 5-6 years. So they were well up for it. The Leeds fans were up for it. United fans were up for it as well, but the players just didn't wake up, which is a big shame. But I don't know. I mean, it's hard to judge a game like that, especially against rivals that have been, you know, around for years. So let's just see how the season pans out.
Okay, well, we'll move on to the features of the week now and start with Cabbage and Player of the Week, as we always do. Dan, I'll start with you. Quite a number of cabbages to choose from, so who would be your pick for this week?
I've got a whole garden of cabbages, but I'm going to go with Welbeck. Danny Welbeck is the chief cabbage. I thought he was poor. I've already mentioned how bad I thought he was. I mean, he's obviously got something about him, or else Ferguson wouldn't keep picking him. But what annoyed me about that game is, you know, Zoran Tosic is sat on the bench. He's probably the only player in the reserves to actually do much this season. You know, really stand out. And he's not even been given a chance yet.
What about Nani as well?
Yeah, exactly. Nani's not even... You'd have thought Nani would have been playing against Leeds United. I'm sorry. He must have done something horrific.
He's got to be off now, hasn't he? Surely.
Well, sure, yeah, there's no doubt about that now. If somebody offers 5 million, I think we'll just cut our losses. But can we afford to do that? You know, we mentioned about the debt before. Can we really cut our losses that much on Nani? No, neither do I.
Like you said about Nani, though, I mean, he could have done a job against Leeds. I think he'd have... Obviously, Welbeck started on the left, didn't he? With Nani on the left, he's full of endeavour and effort, isn't he? So there's nothing to say he wouldn't have caused a few problems. But it's all in hindsight, so you can't really say. But yeah, it's got to be career over now, surely, for Nani at United. But Dov, what about your cabbage of the week this week?
I'm giving it to the club captain. I thought it was absolutely appalling. Again, mentioned it before. I just thought it was terrible. And everything he'd done, I counted at one point in a 5 minute period, he misplaced 5 passes. And that was the only passes he could have made. It was horrible. It really was. And I think he's over the hill and far away, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, there was quite a few, wasn't there? So it's turning out to be quite a difficult choice. I'm going to give it to Wes Brown, though. I thought he should have dealt with the long ball for the Beckford goal a lot better than that. That's Sunday League defending. Not just that, I think generally he just wasn't on it. Beckford was making him look average, which shouldn't be happening. And yeah, I mean, Dan mentioned earlier in the show, at least he was willing to put his foot in and get stuck in, and that was good to see, because it was good to see that the sort of rivalry did mean something to him, because a lot of the players probably don't even know about the Leeds rivalry. So, yeah, but other than that, he just didn't seem at the races, and Beckford was, like I said, just making him look like a run-of-the-mill championship centre-half. So, yeah, Wes Brown for me this week. What about player of the week? Dov, start with you.
I'm going to give it to Anderson. I thought, out of the performances there, I thought he was really good in midfield. He tried his best. The amount of times he battled for the ball, won the ball, and then tried to start an attack and move really good. He just maybe lacked that right cutting edge right in the last sort of 30 metres of the park, but other than that, I thought he had a decent game, and I was quite disappointed that he got substituted as well. I thought Gibson was much worse than him.
Dan, is that the same for you?
I thought Johnny Evans did really well, seeing it's his first game back for a long time, with Wes Brown playing as poorly as we know he did. I thought Johnny Evans, I thought he did really well. So I couldn't go with Anderson, so I'm going to go with Johnny Evans. You, Steve?
I'd say there was only two that really deserved it. And that was, like Dolph was saying, Anderson or Antonio Valencia when I came on. I thought he was one of the only ones that looked an attacking threat. He was causing the left-back problems, and you think maybe if Valencia had started, we'd have had a much better attacking outlet throughout the game. So, I'll give it to Antonio Valencia. And what, he was only on the park for 25 minutes, so it's a bit disappointing. But, Valencia's my player of the week.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Right, so we're welcomed on the podcast today by Aidan Anderson, who writes for Birmingham Programme. Hi, Aidan, how are you doing?
Hello there, Dan. Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. Right, we'll get cracking then. Obviously, with the match coming ahead at the weekend, Birmingham are doing really well in the league this season. I mean, what's been the secret to their success?
I really don't know, to be honest with you. Eighth place in the league at this point, it's a proper dream. You couldn't have made it up at the start of the season. To go into like 2010, a point behind Liverpool, it's unbelievable, to be honest. It's all got to be down to McLeish, to be honest. He had his knockers when he brought him up. There was a few people calling for his head after we didn't walk away with the championship, which a lot of people expected. But it seems like he's built a good little team this season. Everyone's working hard for each other. He's signed some cracking players in Roger Johnson and Dan, even people like Stephen Carr. They're all pulling together, and you can see by the fact that I think we've got second or third best defence in the league at the minute, especially at home. We're not conceding many goals. We've got that unbeaten run going, and you just can't praise them highly enough at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Liverpool there only being one point off. I mean, does that alter the expectations?
It does a little bit. I say 1 point off, and we should be 2 points ahead if it wasn't for that diving and. We won't talk about that. yeah, it does, I guess. usually when you go into January, being a Birmingham fan in the Premier League, you're looking at bringing a couple of players in to try and steady the ship and to try and get you the points to stay in the Premier League. But with the points we've got on board at the moment already, you think eighth in the league, they might be able to, if they can get a couple of decent big names in, like today they've been linked with Ryan Babel, Kevin Karani's been linked there as well. So you think if we could get one, maybe two big names in, I'm not saying we're going to get into Europe or anything like that, but a top 10 finish is got to be on the targets really for them now. I think if they fell away now and ended up finishing in the bottom 5-6, I think it's only going to be disappointment. At this point, when you've got the new takeover, they've got the bank, this is the time to kind of bring in a couple of big names and to really try and kick on a bit.
So, I mean, who's been your standout performer this season? I know Lee Bowyer's got a few goals for you and he's kind of, you know, playing really well. But you mentioned your defence as well. But who's been the star, the one that's made it all happen?
I think the one person you've got to look at, he's got the praise recently, is Joe Hart. It's good that he's only on loan. I really hope we do manage to sign him on a permanent, but he's been amazing the last few weeks. He's really, against Chelsea, I don't know if you managed to see it on the box, but he made some world-class saves to keep it at 0-0. And he is a goalkeeper like that is the difference between losing a game 1 or 2-0 and grabbing a 0-0 draw or a 1-0 win. He really does make the difference. But then again, you've got, in front of him, you've got Roger Johnson and Scott Dan, who both of them came from the Championship, and they're both, I'd be surprised if them two England honours at some point in their career, because they're both quality defenders. And then you've got Barry Ferguson and Bowyer, the old boys in the middle who are pulling the strings, and they're a match for anybody really in the middle.
Yeah, and so now you must be confident about United, especially, you know, being at St Andrews. Like you say, you've got a good record there.
Yeah, well,
and we're not playing too well, I'm sure you've heard.
When they came down, it was, people were expecting us to the run to end and us to get turned over, but we got a 0-0 draw. We should have probably done better, and we put the ball in the net and it got disallowed, and maybe it shouldn't have been. So who knows, if you've not been performing that great lately, you've seen what happened at Fuller and even at home against Leeds last week. So if we can play like we have been and get a goal up, you never know. We can I think we've got the ability to surprise a few people this season, and as long as we can get the ball in the net, we've got to be confident of keeping you out at the other end with the record we've got at the moment. So you never know, really. It is hoping that I think I'd take a draw now if they offered it me, but I was saying that before Chelsea, and when we came away, I was thinking we should have took all three, but there you go.
No, well, yeah, I mean, you say that. I mean, obviously, you mentioned Alex McLeish before. And what a good run he's had now. I mean, but we've seen what happened to Mark Hughes, and obviously with the takeover at Man City. Do you think that McLeish will get replaced at Birmingham, or do you reckon he'll be given a proper chance?
I think he'll be given a chance now. If you'd asked that at the start of the season, I think a lot of people were saying that he didn't have the right tactics. They were playing 4-5-1, and the fans were chanting 4-4-2 to try and get him to change it. Fortunately for him, when he had all the players back fit and he started to sort of stamp his authority on the team a bit more, it came together, and I don't think anyone can question him now when he's put this run together. And I think the vast majority of the players in that team are people he's brought in himself, other than maybe sort of Cameron Jerome up front. The majority of that team is he brought in. He's done it mostly on the cheap, really. A couple of £5 million defenders, but again, that is cheap for a Premiership quality defender, and you can't argue with him for what he's done for us at the moment. I think if he did get replaced at the end of the season or at the start of next season, it would be really harsh on him. I know it does happen, but hopefully I think we've got a bit more class than Man City the way they've done about things.
Yeah. Well, anyway, last question. If you could sign any United player at the moment, which one would you go for?
Yeah, there's only got to be one, hasn't it? It's got to be Wayne Rooney.
Everybody says Wayne Rooney.
it's got to be. The one thing we're missing is a quality striker, and you don't get many of them, and Wayne Rooney could get into anyone's team in the world, couldn't he? He's, he's amazing. I just hope he has a bad game. I remember going to Everton the first season we went up, and he was just broke into their team then. He was still quite a young lad, and he ripped us apart. And yeah, that's just the kind of quality he's got. Hopefully he has a bad game, and we can do it, to be honest.
Well, that was the views of our opposition fan this week, Aidan Anderson. Guys, what's your views? Birmingham away. They're 12 games unbeaten now in all competitions. At the start of the season, you'd have probably looked at that and thought, Birmingham away, it'll be tough, but we should go there and get the 3 points. But now, I think we'll just be glad to get away with a draw, will we?
No, we've got to go there and look for the win, I think. We need to start building a bit more confidence up and things like that, especially after such a horrible result. But Birmingham will be up for it, won't they? So, I mean, I think I wouldn't be happy with a draw, but I mean, I'd certainly take it.
Do you think the change, like obviously, like with the team that played on Sunday against Leeds, do you think he's just going to completely like revamp the lineup? Like, there's going to be big changes, or do you think he might try and keep a few of the guys in who played on Sunday?
There's got to be changes, surely. I mean, a few of them he can't really replace, can he? I mean, lots of Rooney, Berbatov, you probably expect to play. Well, Evra will come in at left back. Giggs will probably come in. Valencia will come in. So Carrick as well. So there's quite a few changes to be made there.
Raphael at right back. Got to be.
Yeah, he's surely going to come in. So a number of changes I'd expect. But Dov, I mean, are you expecting a really tricky game? You remember back to the first game of the season at Old Trafford, we were expecting to really get off to a flying start there, and we only edged it 1-0. And if I remember rightly, they had a few chances as well. So
yeah, like you said about the form they're in great form, and obviously they got the draw against Chelsea as well, and beat Stoke at home, and Stoke, like everybody knows how good they are at home as well. So I think it'll be a tough game, and I demand that we bounce back properly from this one and show everybody that Leeds was just a blip in the form recently, has just been a little dip, because we've been horrendous, and it's about time we sort of showed the rest of the Premier League that we are Manchester United and we are amazing, because it's not really been the case over the last wee while.
Come on then, Dov, stick your neck on the line for next week. What would be a scoreline prediction?
It's a difficult one, because my head says that we won't win, but obviously I want us to win, and my heart says that we're going to win and win comfortably. I'm going to stick my neck. I'm going to go for 3-0 away from home. 3-0.
Never. 3-0. Are you joking?
We're
sitting there. I'm going to go 1-0. Easy. Not easy. I mean 1-0. Not easy.
I'm going to be pessimistic and say we'll come away with a 1-1 draw, because 12 games unbeaten, you can't ignore that, and they'll be up for it. But then again, the United backlash is a hell of a backlash, isn't it? So you'd expect them to be up for it and wanting to prove a few people wrong after the Leeds game. So.
Do you think it'll go ahead, despite, you know, the weather and stuff?
Interesting, yeah. It should do, shouldn't it? Like, what are we on Wednesday now? So
hopefully it'll clear.
Well, that's just about it now for episode 22 of the RedCafe.net podcast. But before we go, Dan's got a special announcement about a new feature that's coming up next week.
That's right, boys. Listeners, this is your chance to be on the RedCafe.net podcast. We've got a new feature called the CAF Countdown. Basically, it's just a run-through of your knowledge about Manchester United. Check the RedCafe.net forums and put your name forward for a great chance to win one of our top prizes. And they are amazing as well. Do it now.
Well, remember to send all your feedback, questions and comments to podcast@redcafe.net. Get signed up to the Facebook group too if you haven't already. And that just leaves me to say thanks a lot for listening, and we'll see you all next week.